Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
It's a beautiful day here in the greater Washington area, and I'm very excited about today's show because I'm able to offer you what I think is a solution to some of the issues we've been sharing with you. Now, one of those issues is the fact the number of millennials living out there who don't have any kind of life insurance. As a matter of fact, they don't have very much going in that direction at all. And we'll talk about that in just a minute because there is a new app, a new company, if you will, and I have the CEO of that company that deals specifically with helping you get to get the things that you may need, life insurance, deed, trust. Anyway, we'll go through that. But let me first of all talk to you about what I always talk to you about as we start the show, being financially fit. Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? And you understand the importance of that question and fix that, okay? If you're going to have a happy life, then you can't spend more money than you make. And do you have 6 months of survival funds in your savings account? Add up all of your monthly expenses, mortgage, rent, utilities, food, drink, clothes, cleaning, fuel, or transportation costs. And take that monthly total and put that amount away for a six-month period. Every month, I want you to have 6 months of that. Now, if something happens to your income, you know that you are good for at least 6 months to take care of yourself and your family to meet your financial obligations. That makes perfect sense to you, shouldn't it? Absolutely. So why not do that? And it's untouchable. Those funds are untouchable. Then I also want you to have 3 months of emergency funds, not survival funds. These are emergency funds. This account is for what happens when others contact you and say, look, I need some help. And you can help them without reaching into your survival funds, okay? And finally, I want you to save at least 5% of everything you make. I don't care what it is. If you get a discount on coffee, put away 5% of that. From now on, and keep doing it, you'll be surprised how much you'll actually save. Okay, that's being financially fit. And you see the benefit of that in many ways. Now, as you well know, if you're a regular listener, for the past three or four shows, I was stunned when I found out that 40% of millennials in this country don't have life insurance, don't even think about doing life insurance. It's just not on their agenda. And I can remember when the guy or the gal would come by the house once a month and collect what they used to call it, industrial insurance or whatever. But mom, granddad, grandma paid those 3 or 4 or 5 cents or whatever it was to make sure that they had life insurance. Today, we have kids that don't even think about it. They not only for themselves, but not for their families. They raise their children and they don't have that life insurance. Well, what do you do about that? And I talk about the danger of that. And I've talked about it. Last week we had a certified financial advisor on who said, oh my goodness, you know, life insurance, you got to have some kind of insurance to protect yourself. Well, now comes a gentleman by the name of Hanley. Yes, Dave Hanley. He's a CEO of an app, and the company's called Tomorrow. And let me just – the Tomorrow app helps families make long-term financial and legal decisions together for the first – it's brand new, folks, just this week. It's an easy-to-use app designed to protect your future. It's the first – trust fund for everyone, right in their pockets, it says. Now, all of this is how they're selling it. But better than reading it, let me let you talk to or listen to the person that has developed this new app. And he comes to us from Seattle. Dave Hanley. Dave, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me on, Paul.
Absolutely. I mean, you obviously know what the statistics are and were impressed by that. Or not impressed in saying we've got to do something because the stats are sobering. Your statistics say 78% of millennials do not have a will. 74% of all Americans do not have individual life insurance to cover their family's financial. How are these people living, Dave? It seems to me, how can you live without having at least some insurance?
Well, it's a really good question. I think that there are things that we perhaps tend to avoid because we don't want to think about them. And then I also think that the whole process, both for getting a will and getting life insurance, it takes a lot of time. You have to say, I want to do this, It takes time from I want to do it to start and from start to finish. It's expensive and it's cumbersome and it can feel overwhelming. And I think one of the key parts is you end up doing these things by yourself or with a stranger.
Or not doing them at all.
You really want to think about what is my family? Yeah. Well, that's the conclusion is that people don't do them at all.
Okay.
And so we've aimed at fixing that.
And the mission is to fix this. And you start this app allows me to do things that I would normally have to turn or think I would have to turn to an attorney to do and to keep up with and to keep track of. Explain how this works.
You bet. So tomorrow is an app for your phone that gives you a will and a trust completely for free, no strings attached. I'll explain how it works, but basically once we understand about your family and your finances, we can also know exactly how much life insurance you would need, and then we sell the life insurance. So we are a national broker of life insurance.
Right.
So that is how we make money, but you can come in and get your will and trust completely for free. And it's a very easy to use and actually social thing that you do with your family.
Folks, let me explain so everybody understands. What Dave has done is found a new way, and I think even a better way, to sell you life insurance. Because with that policy that you would buy in terms of picking up life insurance, you can pick up a number of other things you may need, like a will and other things that work to your advantage. Now, obviously, you have to make the decision one way or the other. But it is a different and a more enticing way, is it not, Dave, to buy life insurance?
Well, it is, but it also, quite honestly, I never understood why someone who might draft up your will for you isn't also making sure there's enough money there to look after the family and carry out the decisions that you would have. For some reason, we've separated these experiences, and so we brought them together. We said, will, trust, and life insurance, when you come to tomorrow, we actually put all those things together and defined it as you're setting up a trust fund for your family. Both the will and trust side,
yeah,
to take care of your family, and the funds to do it all together.
So his name is Dave Hanley, CEO and co-founder of Tomorrow, folks. I think this is a brilliant idea. I really do. I mean, again, you got to know your the bottom line is, you'd like to say, some life insurance. But in between all of that, you get a lot of what you need. When we come back, we'll talk with Dave, tell you a little bit about him, and tell you more about the program. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Okay, Dave has started what I think is just a brilliant way of approaching millennials and others who are too busy to worry about things that they should be worried about. And I'm talking about life insurance. I'm talking about having a will. I'm talking about the basic things that you should have to protect yourself and your family. And so he's brought this to the digital world through his app called Tomorrow, which is brand new. And you should know about this. You should at least listen to what he's done. And what you've done in part, David, is to bring these issues to the digital world where these young people play. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. We're now very accustomed to use our phones for many things, and we're also accustomed to using the internet not just as a way to do the things the same way, but also in new ways. And so with Tomorrow, we've actually created a whole social way to make your will and your trust together with your family and friends instead of just doing it all by yourself. And I think that's really one of the big innovations that we have. So when you come into Tomorrow, you just add, if you have a spouse, you add them. So I would type my wife, Marin, M-A-R. It uses the context on my phone to find her, and it not only adds her to my will, but also sends her an invite that says, hey, Marin, I'm setting up a trust fund for our family. Would you come do this with me? And as you add people to be a guardian for your child, We want you to pick, you know, a few people out and who's going to look out for your kids if anything happened to you. And we believe that those people should know about it and it shouldn't be a surprise. So we actually help you communicate with other people, let them know this is what a guardian does. And they actually, you'll be able to send them a message that says, hey, I'm trying to pick guardians for my kids and I think you'd be great. Learn more and let me know if you'd like to do that. And they go to a little page on their phone or their computer that says, has videos on what does a guardian do? And they can see the information. They can say yes or no or text back. And we're trying to build a movement and a conversation on getting people to get these really important documents in place.
It really is a fascinating way to do it. Do I need to have an attorney in place to do all of this? And if I have to make changes, that's part of the bugaboo before. It's like, you got to be kidding. I got to pay some guy thousands of dollars to help me get into will so that that I'm protected. I don't want to do that. You don't need that here, do you?
Yeah. So tomorrow's not a law firm, and if everyone could afford the time and money to sit down with a lawyer, I think that would be great. Tomorrow has designed together with 51 attorneys documents that are appropriate for most Americans. And we tell you, the situations where it may or may not be appropriate for you. But as you come in, if you want to change something, so for instance, maybe your sister moves to another state, and you want to change a guardian so your kids can stay close to family and friends who are nearby. You just make the change inside the app. It produces new legal documents, which you can print from your phone or email to yourself. And so it changes with you as your life changes.
All right, I'll get less than a minute in this segment. Where do I find you? How do I get to the app? Tell us that before we go to the break.
So we're in the Apple App Store. You can go to tomorrow.me to see the app and to learn all about it.
Okay, let's take the break here. I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about the concept that you bring to the table, the idea that you don't have to go out there and the world is right here, right in your hand, and here's something that you can use. At least learn about it. Go to tomorrow, to the app tomorrow, you're at the Apple Store. When we come back, he'll tell us more about what you need to do, what it costs. All of this is important stuff. And then at the bottom line, if you end up with a will, my goodness, I'm happy about that. We'll be right back with more. Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. My guest is Dave Hanley. He is the CEO of Tomorrow, the app Tomorrow, which is available, as I understand it, Dave, right now, only through Apple.
That's correct. Android is coming.
Okay. All right. So it's just, I see. Okay. Ultimately, you will have it on other platforms as well, obviously.
That's right.
Okay. I know that you've raised over $2.6 million toward this endeavor. And I also know, based on your information, that you're using some of the better insurance companies to offer to people in terms of them buying insurance. Tell me about the insurance, the life insurance aspect of this, please.
You bet. So, yes. So, Tomorrow has partnered with 9 of the top carriers in the country who are all graded. So, they're all grade A and better. And we also have looked for the insurance companies who have the most innovative products that are best for customers, and also products where you don't have to even get a blood test or a physical. So in Tomorrow, if you purchase under $500,000 of life insurance, that's it. Maybe we might have to call you with a couple of follow-up questions, but in most cases, that'll be the end. And in a couple of days, you'll have your life insurance policy and no physical to get in your way.
Wow. Is there a limit? I mean, is there a floor? Do I have to buy a certain amount of life insurance to make this work or not?
No, in Tomorrow, you can buy as little as $50,000 of insurance, and pricing is very inexpensive. If you're a millennial and you want to buy $250,000 in insurance, You should expect to pay around $13 or maybe more, depending on how you answer the health question. So it's extremely affordable for people to purchase.
Okay, and let's talk about, first of all, let's go from the beginning. How do I do this? Take me through the steps. I decide I want to join this, I like, or I want to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. I go where?
Go to tomorrow.me to learn more about tomorrow, or simply open up your phone to the App Store and type in the word tomorrow, and you'll see us there.
Okay. Go.
Then you can download the app and get started.
Okay. And download the app and then decide what you like about it and whether you're interested in. And then at that point, you can decide to – can you do any of this without buying life insurance?
Absolutely. So the will and trust are completely free. We're committed to a mission of making sure that everyone has these documents and that they're always going to be up to date. The life insurance is completely optional, but we know that once you understand your family and their needs, we'll tell you, oh, your family needs $350,000 of life insurance. Based on your age and where you live, that'll be about $18 a month. Do you want to buy it? If you do, it takes about 3 minutes to answer the health questions, and then in most cases, you're done. We may have to call you with a couple of questions. But basically, once you've done your will and trust through tomorrow, mm-hmm. We have most of the information that we need to fill out your life insurance application for you.
And I should also point out that that the Tomorrow app uses a bank-level security, so everything is encrypted. In other words, if I'm dealing with you, I'm not telling the world about who I am or where I am, right?
Correct. We don't sell your data. The only thing we do with your data is use it to fill out the application that you would need to fill out anyway to get life insurance. So we take care of all that for you, but we don't share your data, and we keep it very secure.
And in terms of your projections, what are you projecting in terms of the reaction? Because this is brand new, what do you expect in 6 months? How many people do you expect to have as a part of Tomorrow?
So we're not sharing any of our expectations or even our current numbers, but I can tell you that we've been very pleased with the uptake that we've had in our first 24 hours since we launched, and we expect to see that continue. What we do expect is to have more stories like the ones that have come in, where someone tells me, hey, I just did my will in 7 minutes, and I just texted my whole family to have them do the same thing. Or people who have said, my husband has 6 siblings, and 3 of them have died in the last 7 years, and we need to have this now, because I've seen firsthand what happens when you don't take care of these things.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Those are stories, and they keep trickling in every 15 minutes.
And if you think this is – we're not talking to you, just imagine what would happen if your wife or your husband dies or your parents die at this point and you're responsible. What do you do? Do you know what to do? This is the kind of things that this happens.
Half of all millennials?
Yeah.
Half of all millennials would have immediate trouble paying their bills.
It's amazing.
If something happened to the primary wage earner.
Dave Handley, I've given you as much time as I can, okay? I think it's a great idea, great concept. I'd like to have you on again. Let's talk about it in another 3 or 4 months, see how things are going. Maybe you'll share with me the numbers, and we'll see where you are. Come back and see us again, would you please?
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Okay, you bet. We'll be right back with more. You know what your rights are on an airline? If you get bumped, we'll tell you. Stay with us.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Barry.
So what's up with your vacation? Are you flying somewhere? Bet you are, or bet you wanted to. And if you are flying somewhere, a couple of things I want to share with you. First of all, some of the best fares will become available in the middle of August, like the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd of August. You will be able to buy airline tickets almost anywhere for a lot less. Don't ask me why that. It's just the way it works. Maybe it's a season change back to school. I don't know why they do it, but all of the airlines do pretty much the same thing. They offer you much cheaper fares, and if you can but now remember, you got to travel within their little time frames, whenever that is. But you can't buy these tickets until after August, or at least get the discount. from August 21st or 22nd, and you can check with the airlines and you hear more about it on the news. So it's worth it, because if you can buy tickets in your time frame, then you can fly for a lot less money, folks. And that includes overseas flights as well. And we're talking anywhere of a difference from $50 to $200 per ticket. So think about that. Now, the other thing I want you to think about is what happens if you get to the airport and can you believe somebody being pulled down the aisle of an airplane? Nobody would ever expect that to happen, but it's happening. Airlines are overselling, and they've always done that, but now they're more brazen about it in terms of saying, okay, you got to acquiesce to us. But there are rules out there, really rules that they have to abide by, and rules that you as the consumer have to abide by as well. No one knows those rules any better than Kiplinger's Caitlin Pitzker. She's no stranger to our airways. She's here, and we ask her to tell us, know your rights on flights. And this is an article that's first of all, welcome, Caitlin, to the show. Always nice to have you on the program.
Well, it's great to be here.
What month is your Know Your Rights on Flights? Is it now? When did this come out?
So it's in our July issue, which is available now, and it's also on Kiplinger.com.
What's going on in the airlines industry, Caitlin? What's happening? Is this any change? I mean, is it that the news media, the outlets are telling us what's happening with customers, or is this something new?
Well, a little bit of both, actually. We've seen a lot of high-profile situations recently, particularly the one that you referenced, in which Dr. Dow was dragged down the aisle when he was removed from a United flight a few months ago now. First of all, I want to reassure your listeners, this is not common. There have been a few high-profile incidents. But overbooking has been going on continuously. It will continue. But generally speaking, they don't need to worry about something as drastic as what occurred back in April.
Good. I don't want to be dragged down any airline's aisle going anywhere. But you see this happening and you're saying, well, wait a minute. Are they being more aggressive? Or is it just that we're more aware that there are these kinds of things happening? And I guess the real issue is, how can we protect ourselves, if at all?
Right. Well, airlines routinely sell more tickets for a flight than the number of seats that are available on that flight. Part of that is them just wanting to make sure they're making money. They're only making money if there are people in those seats, and they do bargain on people changing flights, missing flights, or for whatever reason. So it's fairly common for them to sell more seats, more tickets for a flight than there are seats on the plane. But most of the time, they're able to resolve that asking for volunteers rather than forcing someone to say, I'm sorry, you're not on this flight. So it's really, there are kind of two sides to this coin.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the two sides. Let's use the mother who was flying with her kid, and she paid for the seat, Caitlin. She paid for the seat, and then they sold her. I don't know how they could sell the seat. Well, I know how they could sell the seat, because they overbooked. And they took her seat and forced the baby to sit in the mother's lap for the 2,000 miles or whatever it was, hours of flight. What could she have done? Would she have any rights?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm not up on all of the details of that particular example, but that does, unfortunately, things happen, and I think a lot of it, unfortunately, gets pointed towards bad customer service, and hopefully she was able to work something out with the airline, either then, sometimes you can work something out right then, or at least later get be compensated for the issue. But really what this piece is about is voluntary and involuntarily being bumped from a flight.
Yeah.
And that wasn't what happened in that case.
No.
The child was unfortunately forced to sit in her lap, which I'm sure was a very uncomfortable situation for both of them.
Yeah, and it wasn't. She said that, and she was very kind, and she said the airline agreed to give her the money back for the seat that they used. But they should have given her money back for her seat as well, for the inconvenience. I mean, from my point of view. And I get that, I'm giving you specific cases when, in a more generic way, we're talking about knowing your rights. I get that. And as you said, there are two sides to these stories. And let's talk about the side. Which side is more important for me to know? My side as my rights, or what the airline can and cannot do to me? Or is it the same thing?
Well, the two sides that I was referencing are really both. You have the voluntary bumping, in which they've overbooked the flight, and what they'll typically do is start off by asking for volunteers. I actually personally listen for these announcements at the airport, because I look at it as a way to experience a minor inconvenience, but perhaps get to travel for a fun trip for either free or close to free on my next flight. Because what they'll start doing is offering a couple $100, depending on how long of a delay you'll have, for volunteers to step forward and say, I'll take the next flight.
Okay.
And if you're traveling alone, that can be, not even alone, but I find it easy for traveling alone. If you're traveling and your plans are flexible, it can be lucrative to volunteer.
So you actually are sitting there looking forward, not looking forward to, but thinking about and considering the possibility that if they've overbooked this flight, that you might be able to take the next flight and pay nothing for the one that you were scheduled to fly out on.
Depending on the flight of the next, the cost of the next flight that I might be taking. But I've certainly had situations where they're saying, we're offering a $200 voucher to volunteers if you'll take the next flight. And I've asked, and they said, oh, the next flight is in an hour and a half. And I'm like, absolutely. I'll wait an hour and a half if you want to give me $200.
All right. Let's talk when we come back. This is important because I've heard that. And I, like most people, think of it not as something that I want to do, but an inconvenience. I wouldn't even think about it. But based on what you're saying, it might be to my advantage. We're talking with Caitlin Pisker from Kiplinger. She's a Kiplinger editor. She's been on the show before. She knows about this stuff, folks. Listen, you might save some money. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Hey, we're talking with Caitlin Pisker of Kiplinger's. She's got an article in the July issue that says what you should know about your rights on flights, and something I think all of us are kind of a little bit concerned about, because we really have had a spate of unfortunate incidents that have occurred on airlines where people have been dragged down the aisles, or they've taken somebody's seat, or more recently we had Ann Coulter, who was, of course, and because she is she's a person of notice, but she had apparently bought one of those seats at the gate and upgraded her, but when they got on the flight, the seat was taken, and so they took her back. She took strong exception to that, Caitlin. What rights did she have, if any? Who was right or wrong in this case?
You know, in that particular case, that one got a lot of attention because of who was involved.
Yeah.
But in that particular case, it's really a situation of going to customer service and, you know, getting a refund for the upgrade that you had purchased. Again, these things don't happen often. It's not like this happens on a large majority of flights. But airlines do have the right to say, okay, you've been assigned seat 21A, but that's not available anymore. You'll be in seat 18B or whatever the case may be. And you might not be happy, but that is part of the agreement that you have with the airline when you purchase a ticket. It's part of what's called a contract of carriage.
Okay.
It's a rather lengthy document that's not a lot of fun to read, but it does outline all of the agreements and rights that the airline has and that you have. That is within their right.
So, Caitlin, should I read this? Is it important for me to know this document, to read it beforehand, or to find it, or no? Is that important?
It's a rather lengthy document. I say this as someone who has read several of them when I was reporting on this story for the July issue. It's some interesting reading if you're into that sort of thing. But generally speaking, most consumers don't need to dig into it. It's really about understanding that the airline does have the right to bump you from your flight if it has been oversold, or to give you a new seat assignment despite having an assigned seat, you know, that can change, things like that. But you do have some rights. The Department of Transportation has some regulations in there for people who are told against their will that they will not be making this flight in a situation where it was oversold.
Okay, well, here, let me on that issue, and again, this is a small but important, because I may feel like I bought this seat 3 months ago or when I could on this airline, so I know when I bought the seat, or at least I think I know, that it wasn't oversold, that I was one of the first people to buy a seat on this airplane. Does the airline still have the right to bump me off of that flight, even though we all know that I was one of the first to buy a seat on that flight?
You know, that's an excellent question. And we were talking about earlier a little bit how they always ask for volunteers first. Airlines will try very hard to entice people with some vouchers to get enough volunteers. They don't have to say, these four people or whatever number of people, you will not be allowed on the flight. They would much rather go the volunteer route. It's cheaper. It gives them better customer service ratings, mm-hmm. all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But if it gets to a point when they can't get those volunteers, airlines will start looking at their list of passengers and making selections to have the correct number of people on the plane. How each airline...
And is that their right to do that? Yes?
That is within their rights. It's all part of the contract of carriage. Okay. And how each airline does that differs a little. Some of them will look at how much you paid for your ticket, say, what time you checked in for your flight, if you're a member of their frequent flyer program, mm-hmm. things like that. And they will make determinations based on that. So what you can do is, of course, make sure you have an assigned seat. That's one other factor they sometimes look at. Make sure you've checked in on time. Make sure that you, in some cases, as I said, it's a membership of frequent flyer can help you not be on the bottom of that list, I guess you'd say. But if you do get bumped, it's not the end of the world. There are some protections in place for that. And the incident that we referenced earlier in April, where the doctor was dragged out of the plane, is not a common situation.
Okay, he paid a heck of a price, but he also got a heck of a reward for that. But you don't want to go through that. What you'd like to do, if I hear you right, is what you do is you listen carefully, and if it doesn't inconvenience you, consider taking the dollars.
Right. When they're looking for volunteers, that can be lucrative. If your travel plans are flexible, you fly at least a few times a year. If you're traveling as part of a large group or you're on a tight schedule, you're hoping other people step forward. But there are usually enough volunteers. Actually, most of the time it's resolved with volunteers. It very rarely even gets to the point where they are requiring people to miss the flight. And if they do, those people who are forced to miss the flight are compensated based on Department of Transportation rules. And those compensations are fairly sizable. So at least there's a little bit of money to take the sting out of that.
What's your idea of sizable?
So the first one is a caveat. If they can give you a new flight itinerary that gets you to your destination within an hour of what was scheduled, mm-hmm. there's no compensation for that. So they'll give you an "I'm sorry, we apologize for the inconvenience," but that's it. When you start getting up into 2 hours, there's different categories. The airline is required to pay you twice the price of your original one-way fare, up to $675. Mm-hmm. If you're delayed between 1 and 2 hours for a domestic trip, or 1 and 4 hours for international travel. When you start getting beyond 2 hours for a domestic flight or 4 hours for an international flight, or if the airline just can't make alternative arrangements for you, they're going to owe you four times the price of that original one-way fare. So that's up to $1,350.
So all right, so that's in writing.
That's some in money.
That's decent money. That's written down for you to see it, right?
That's correct. That's as required by the Department of Transportation, and that's to protect passengers who are involuntarily bumped from a flight. Mm-hmm. And those amounts are up to, double or four times the price of the fare, up to a certain limit.
All right.
It is a sizable check.
But if I decide that I'm going to accept the bumping and they offer the money, I get the money that they offer. It doesn't escalate.
As a volunteer, you get what they've offered, and there is a little wiggle room there, particularly if it's going to be a long wait. They might be able to compensate you with a room for the night or some meal vouchers. Another common thing to ask for is perhaps an upgrade on the next flight. Maybe mm-hmm. you're in an okay seat this time, but maybe you can get a little more leg room on that later flight that you're taking as a result. But again, that's as a volunteer. You're getting what they've offered, but you might be able to ask for a little bit more.
Okay. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about that part of it for you that think, okay, maybe I'll be in that cadre of people. Are there lots of people, and how do I better my position there if I can at all? In other words, do I want to do this? And if I decide to stick around, do I get a room? Is that a part of the process or not? Do I ever get a room if they bump me? All of that straight ahead. Caitlin has the answers, and we have Caitlin. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. It is Home and Family Finance. It's all about you, all about making your life a better life, because we save you money in the long run. You understand what your rights are. What are your rights when you when you're flying? Very simple. If you're going to get bumped, what do you need to know? How do you need to behave? Caitlin Pitzker from the wonderful Kiplinger magazine. She's written an article. So you can go to Caitlin, and where, if we want to read the article, where do we go?
So the article is in our July issue, which is available on newsstands and out to subscribers right now, but it's also on our website. So your listeners can go to Kiplinger.com and look for my recent story called Know Your Rights on Flights.
Okay. All right, folks. So we've covered a couple of things that you should know and you need to know. What can and cannot happen to you is written down by somewhere. Caitlin doesn't think you need to go there and read all of the stuff, but you should at least know that the airline has to act in a certain way because it's written there. But you can also have an option if you're flying and you decide that you want to be one of those people that is that volunteers to be bumped. Well, if I volunteer to be bumped, how should I be treated, Caitlin? Do they have to treat me in a nice manner?
You know, if you're volunteering to be bumped, you're kind of doing each other a favor. At least that's how I look at it. And again, I'm someone who I listen for these announcements because they can be lucrative if you're flexible and you do travel periodically. They need someone to volunteer. You're getting a little something for it. It's a business transaction. Hopefully, everybody can leave happy.
Okay. And do I get a room?
Well, that'll depend. What they're offering will typically depend on how long it will be to the next flight. For example, there are periods of time where I fly between Newark and D.C. Reasonably often, and those flights happen every hour to 2 hours usually, so they're offering maybe $100 or $150. But if you're going to be delayed overnight, they're certainly going to be offering you a larger amount of money and possibly even a hotel room or some meal vouchers, things like that.
Okay. So, did you say from Newark to D.C.?
That's a route I take not super often, but usually a couple times a year. And
okay.
For me, at least, that's one that's a no-brainer to consider being bumped on if they can get me on a flight in an hour or two.
Yeah, bump me. I can deal with it because the bumping, the fee is going to pay for your ticket, right?
What they do is they typically, when they're looking for volunteers, they typically start with a fairly low offer of a couple $100s. And as it gets closer to boarding time, airlines, if they haven't received enough volunteers, will usually start to sweeten the deal a little bit, either increasing the dollar value of a voucher that you'd receive, or adding in a meal thing, or maybe some other little ancillary perks.
Okay.
You have to know when to jump and when it's worth it for you.
Yeah, and that's voluntary. Now let's talk for a moment about it's not a voluntary thing. You have been bumped off the flight. They've oversold the flight, and they call you up to the desk, and they're telling you that you're gonna be bumped from the flight. Folks, let me just say this right now. It is not the time to start talking about the agent's mama. Not if you want to get the best possible deal, because these are human beings. They've been whacked around all day long, and then you get up there and then you start going off about their family and about what you're going to do and what you're not. What happens when you do that, Caitlin? Nothing good happens to you, does it?
I would never encourage that for any reason, but I think really it's a good thing to just stay calm, ask them about what your options are. Know your rights going into it, that if you have been involuntarily bumped from a flight that you had a confirmed seat on, you're going to be receiving that compensation depending on when they get you in. And
yeah.
Then be nice to them and work with them to get on a good flight to get to wherever you're going sooner rather than later, hopefully.
And that's the point I wanted to get to, too. Do I have a right to say which flight I want to take, or am I beholden to them for the next flight or when they want to fly me?
You know, that's something you're going to have to work with the agent on, and another really good reason to keep them, on your side. Be nice to them. They're a human being. Their job is to help you, but they're going to want to help you a whole lot more if you're calm and say, okay, I really don't want to fly through this city that you're routing me, or gee, that's a terrible layover. Can you help me out and find a different route?
I've had some people say this to me, if you want the best, you've got to get loud and noisy and you've got to make them want to get you out. Is that ever a good way to approach this?
I guess everybody has their own school of thought. That is certainly not mine. I tend to be the one who says befriend the gate agent. I did so a couple of months ago on a flight, and great guy, got me on an earlier flight. He was my buddy that afternoon, and, we're on good terms.
Your things went well. And, folks, by the way, you can go – where can I find the rates and my do's and don'ts? Do I go to the airline and then go to their –
If any of your listeners want to do a little more research, again, this is a really lengthy document. It's not something we ever tell our readers, hey, go read this, but they can check for the contract of carriage for their airline, or they can go to the Department of Transportation's website and read more there. But it is pretty dense, so I would really just encourage checking out my article or other pieces that are similar.
Caitlin, you're such a pleasure to have on the show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing your information. Come back and see us again soon, okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, and fly safely. We'll be right to, well, we won't be back. That's it. This is not okay. I got to see you next week. I look forward to seeing you then. I hope you'll be here with us. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.